And guys, Becky's going to play for us, so we at least are going to have some good news.
Pew Bible to page 281, and you can follow along. Page 281, 2 Samuel 7, 1 to 14. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan says to the king, "Go do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any one of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be the prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name. like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human hands. And our New Testament reading is from Ephesians 2:11-22, page 192 in your New Testament. Page 192, Ephesians 2:11-22. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, the 2 Samuel piece, dealing with David and how last week he had brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and he was dancing before the Ark, and he was dancing with passion and abandon. And not everybody likes that. This week, as we read how God is going to bless David with allowing him to make a permanent home for the Ark of the Covenant. What's special about the Ark of the Covenant? It's just an ark. It's just got the Ten Commandments in it. It's got a jar that has some of the manna that was left over. But, I mean, it's only a thing, right? What's the Ark of the Covenant? It's the mercy seat. For the Jew and for the people of promise, what was the Ark of the Covenant? That was where God resided. That's where they could come into the very presence of God, the Creator. The one who made that covenant with Abraham and continued it through David. And what did he say to David? I will bless you. Now, Paul is talking in the New Testament to the church in Ephesus, though the letter is written to the Ephesians, yes, but really, as most commentators say, it was written to an area of Asia Minor, and the churches there. And there was a problem in that church. You know what the problem was? There was a bunch of us and a bunch of them. Now, take your pick. Now, that doesn't go on today anymore, does it? Seriously. We have gotten to a point in our nation where it's almost as if, you know, in 1861, it was brother against brother, family against family. And it got so that people were willing to kill each other over a disagreement. Now, granted, today there are probably several disagreements. But you're never going to get a time when everybody agreed with everybody. But goodness gracious, let us come and find peace where we can exist in the same building, in the same worship service, because we're brought together by whom? What are we doing here today? We're worshiping God. I don't care what color you are. I don't know what your national ethnic. I don't care what your proclivities are. But when we enter His house and we worship the Word of God provided to us through the prophets, through the apostles, and throughout history, what are we studying? A God of peace, a God of restoration, and one where it says, look, you don't have to agree with her. She doesn't have to agree with you. But we do live in the house of the Lord together in peace. We don't have to agree with each other. Goodness gracious, how many married people are there out there? I say no more. I know there are some who are blissfully, never have a harsh word, never have a disagreement. Now, you are truly blessed with selective memory. Still blessed, nonetheless. And gosh, where is Bob? Goodness, I mean, last week would have been a good one for Bob, and this week would have been a good one for Bob. I love him too, even though he's an Air Force guy. I love the Army, the Air Force, the Marine Corps. You can't tell a Marine much. But the point is, he's saying that they are brought together by a common love, a common blessing, a common redemption that exceeds any of the differences that they might have. Because he's talking to the church, and the church is made up of people who count themselves sons of Abraham because of what? Because they can draw back their lineage from parents through parents through parents through parents of parents of parents. And if they're male, on the eighth day they were circumcised. So they have a mark in their flesh that says they are of God, Yahweh. And there are so many other things in the Torah that required them to do particular items every day of their lives. Things not to eat, things to eat, days to do this, days to do that. Those were commandments, and whether it was Exodus or Leviticus or Deuteronomy, there were dietary restrictions, there were all kinds of things that made them Jews. And they followed those requirements and commandments. And in doing so, they thought, how many times do people think, and it turns out they were wrong? They thought that by following all of those rules and regulations that they became children of God. Well, the truth of the matter is they were children of God because God loved them, whether or not they followed those rules. But because they were children of God, they should follow those rules. That was the Old Testament. Not that by following those rules they became. Because what happens? You get a set of rules. Anybody play football? Watch football? Not that I'm going to watch the NFL anymore. But there are rules in which you have to follow, right? Why do we need a referee if everybody follows the rules? Everybody knows the rules. Everybody follows the rules, right? Yeah. That's why we need a referee. Well, the Jews of the day didn't follow all the rules either. Because no one can. That's why Jesus has come. Because we can't follow all those rules. And if we think we're going to get to heaven and earn everlasting presence of God by our following any set of rules and regulations, it's not going to happen. Matter of fact, they tried to trap Jesus. They said, what's the greatest of the commandments? And he said, what? Thou have no God before you. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Did he say any of that? He did, but it's the way in which he said it. He said, thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And the second, no less than that, love thy neighbor as thyself. And the kicker, he said, all of the commandments are followed when you do these. He just turned their world upside down. Paul's showing up in Ephesus or Asia Minor, and most of the Christian churches, they weren't Christians yet. They were called followers of the way. And there was always this, if you're not a Jew, you can't be a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you have to be a Jew. Huh? Well, you have to be circumcised, because Jesus was what? No, he was a Christian, right? That's not what my Bible says. He was a Jew. Paul, he was a Christian, right? Jew. The point was that the Old Testament was a God of exclusiveness. His covenant was made with Abraham. The children of Abraham, the children of David. It was exclusive. They were chosen. Jesus comes and does what? When he went to the temple, what did he do? He kicked out the money changers. Well, boy, I tell you what, that wasn't the only apple cart he turned over. Because he said it's not the circumcision of the flesh, that circumcision of the heart, as Paul tells us Jesus told him. What does Paul tell us to do? He says, look, those who were counted uncircumcised are counted circumcised. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. If you read that second Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, there's a It starts with where you were without God, primarily to the Gentile, and then how you are with God through Christ. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called uncircumcision by those who called circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ. And if you're without Christ, where are you? Lost. Because guess what? You're stuck suffering the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. But with Christ Jesus and our faith and His grace and His love and His mercy, we're grafted in with the children of Abraham into the tree of life. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, aliens in a commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants, but now in Jesus Christ, verse 13, but now in Jesus Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In other words, did you get there on your own? Kicking and screaming, we're pulled there by the blood of Christ, Jesus, in spite of our best efforts. Because our best efforts generally fall short. Verse 14. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. You know, you and I don't have to agree. I've looked on Facebook here the last few weeks, and it's like, goodness gracious, I have people that I've known for many, many, many years, and we don't agree on a couple of things on Facebook. And, you know, that's how life is going to be. But you know what? Fortunately, hallelujah, none of us have said, well, I'm going to unfriend you because we don't agree. Goodness gracious. How much more important is life? And wouldn't it be great if we could bring that into our common discourse today? Okay, so you're right, but I don't agree with you. Okay, let's not beat each other up. There's no sense in stomping on a car and lighting somebody's business on fire because, wow, whether it's Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, I don't care. All lives matter. How do I know that? Because Jesus died for every one of us, for all of us. So just as the Jew and the Gentile were in conflict then, and we have the left and the right and everybody who doesn't agree with everybody in conflict, almost to the point where we're trying to kill each other. And a lot of us call ourselves Christians, and we're still trying to fight in tooth and nail, trying to kill each other. Excuse me. This discussion is as relevant today as it was then. It's us and them. Guess what? We all. Or is that, how's that? All y'all? All y'all? All y'all, or all us-ins, belong to whom? God. Whether we have followed that or not, God created all of us, and all of us draw our lineage back to God the Creator. And we all have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. And just as Paul wrote to the Gentiles and the Jews and said, y'all just get over it, okay? Because it done been dealt with. God did it through Christ. He loves you and He loves you. Now y'all live together. Now he knew in peace. And how are they going to live in peace? Through Christ Jesus. You know, if we can't find a way to agree, all we can do is disagree. Well, guess what? Let's still just get along. Well, I just can't stand that person. Look, how dirty and sinful are you? And God, the Creator, the epitome of perfection, can stand next to you? Excuse me. If He can put up with me, you can put up with the other person. Because guess what? If you're Christians, you're going to be spending eternity together. So you better well learn how to get along now. You can just see God looking at two people coming up to the pearly gates. And there's nowhere that this is in Scripture, okay? So I'm deviating from this. Where Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are there, and Peter's there, and Paul and all the saints before us. And here come two of the people that were from different sides of the track, and they couldn't stand each other on life. They fought tooth and nail every time. And if he said black, that guy said white. If that person said yes, that person said no. And you know what? They show up, and as they get ready to enter the pearly gates, they're looking at Jesus, and they're entering into the kingdom, and everything else just fades away. All the hate, all the animosity, all the issues. Why? Because in Jesus they have peace. They're no longer aliens. Citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into what? The holy temple of whom? Of the Lord, in whom you also built together spiritually into a dwelling place. For whom? For God. Now, can't we all just get along? We don't all have to agree. We don't all have to agree. And Terry is always right. I don't always agree. And it turns out that she's most often always right. There are a few times, rare indeed. But when we look at the hatred and the violence that's going on in our country and in the world, God loves you in spite of who we are, because he loves us. Let's get along. What's your status? Are you with Christ? Shalom.